Now we turn to fields far from the ones we know, where a great hammer strikes down upon a blade forged from the heart of a dying star. The reverberations of the great blow echo through the billion worlds, cut into a thousand roaring screams along the keen edge of the weapon. Their voices cry out in unison, and the word sounded throughout the universe is... Doom.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 11 of Doomed Prophecy. I'm Jaden, and I'm here with Brett.
Hi. You sent me an interesting link right before we started.
That's true. I did do that. That's my bad. Yes, so we are here today. It's mid-October 2022. We've got a little bit of news, specifically that the X-Men affiliation pack is getting pushed back to December, theoretically. And that, as far as we're aware, nothing's coming in November, which is interesting, because that's usually a big month. So I'm kind of curious what's going on there. Sentinels and Red Skull are out. You should be seeing, there's been a nonstop slew of wonderfully painted Sentinels popping up on Facebook and Discord, which has been very fun. The other thing that I love about that is that none of them look the same, because these things are so freaking poseable.
Yep. Well, and if you want to be even more different, on our Discord, we're putting together, one of our members is putting together a 3D sculpt to make House of M Sentinels. So they've got like the Magneto helmet and the shoulders and now the flag. So if you want your Sentinels to be even more different, come in and help us.
Yeah, and they look sick, and I'm super excited. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, there's a sick part of me that wants to, like, get a second set of Sentinels and have the House of M ones and have the Normies, because I can't quite decide which one I want.
Well, you should do one House of M and then two set, so you can differentiate the normal ones.
That's not a bad idea either.
Yeah, I also like how we discovered, so this is why the Sentinels' heads are kind of small, because you did one of those little higher scales, like, oh, that looks very silly.
Yeah, it turns out there's a certain ratio at which, if you cross, things look really stupid as far as humanoid scale to head. Or they look like very chibi, which I guess is like...
Not the effect they're going for.
Not at all, no. These are supposed to be scary. I've yet to build mine. They're just sort of sitting in my garage because I've got other projects I'm working on right now. And my trainee is not maybe ready for a bunch of size 5 models that he can't really interact with. So, yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all the news. Brett's been posting articles on the regular. I've been painting this Malekith and posting pictures of it. And, boy, am I tired of painting Tiger Fur. And... Sorry, go ahead.
I stole one of your progress picks for a article.
I saw that. I was like, all right, whatever. I mean, nobody but me is going to know that's not a finished picture. And I guess now everybody that listened to this podcast. But yeah, fair enough. Okay. Yeah, I think that's all of the news. So today we're talking about your experience at the 4th Second Wind tournament in Chicago, right?
Yeah, I was in Chicago.
Very nice.
Yeah, and we'll also there are some funny happenings that caused Phil to troll me by picking the episode that we'll talk about at the end of this.
Yes, and by at the end you mean probably like half of it, because I want to talk about it. Yeah.
So Second Wind was apparently originally a Guild Ball event, and the ringleader quote of my local MCP community was a big Guild Ball player, so he was aware of it, and he talked 5 of us from Austin into going to the Chicago event.
Nice.
It was a ton of fun. We are not good at coordinating. We ended up in 4 different hotels.
That sounds about right.
But
wait, hold on. How much of this were you in charge of?
So I arranged a room with one of my college friends, because I went to college in Illinois, so it was easy. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, hey, there's plenty of space in this room. And nobody took me up on it, and we all ended up in different places.
All right, now, fair enough.
They tell me that before I joined the community, they were good at organizing. So I assume it's my fault, but...
It's just your disruptive, like, I'm not going to be the captain anymore energy coming in and messing things up.
You're on your own.
Yeah. Fair enough. Did you guys drive or did you fly?
We all flew, I think.
Okay.
Except for Phil, because he lives that way.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. So there was five of us from Austin, and then honorary line of sight member Phil was also there. So it was in a brewery. We actually, like, if you were in the bottom half of the bracket, you were like in the like basement of the brewery. And if you're in the top half, you were like actually in like the room where they do all the brewing. So like you're playing, like the tables are set up around these like giant like beer machines.
Weird. All right. Yeah.
But it was really cool because, you know, it was an active brewery and they opened for us. So you could come in and... Or you could like finish your game. If you finished early, you could like get a beer or get some snacks or whatever.
Nice.
And the time was really chill. Like it was 45 minute death clock, you know, with pausing for cleanup and deployment and power. And so already very lax time. And then
yeah, so that's
timers are like 2 hours.
So let's just go over that real fast. That's 90 minutes each plus some time for other stuff to play the game, right? So that works out to, there's six rounds, so that works out to 15 minutes. I'm not doing this math wrong, am I? 60, 30, yeah, 15 minutes per round.
Not including pause time, and I would say pause time is...
Right.
Third of the game time.
Mm-hmm. And then you all, so that works out to be for the average team like... 3 minutes per activation? That's a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Hmm. Okay. And you said it felt really chill, huh?
Yeah, yeah. There was lunch break each day. There was... I was usually have like half an hour between rounds. I think it was like 2 hour round timer. And then it was just... a lot of them knew each other from Guild Ball, so we got to meet a lot of people that they knew pretty well, and then... They try to get us to play like Crokinole and like Marvel Dice Throne, all kinds of stuff.
I mean, Marvel Dice Throne is great, so you should play that. Mm-hmm. Very nice. How did you like the? So, did you still get your like minimum required number of Brett games to feel like you had a good event in per day, or was it like three per day kind of thing?
It was four the first day and two the second day.
Okay.
Which
how did you feel about that?
Six over a tournament's fine.
Okay.
I don't mind that at all. What I did love is that they catered in lunch.
Ooh, so like the ATC?
Yeah, except it was Lou Malnati's pizza,
which
is my favorite pizza in the world as a Chicagoan, so.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
Awesome. Like, I didn't know that was happening, and if I had known, I would have. Now that I know that, I'm going every year.
Brett is easy to get to come to your event. Just get pizza he likes.
Well, yeah, pizza I like. All my friends are already going, and it's in Illinois, so I can see my college friends. Yeah, like this is easy.
Right. Yeah, you are like very much the intended target audience for that.
Correct.
Sweet. Alrighty. So, what did you take to this event?
So I took the Shield Web Warriors list I've been working on for quite a while, actually. I think I brought it to like the last four tournaments, including this one. And so the really cool thing about Second Wind, and I think this is something they inherited from Guild Ball, is that they offer a prize for best in faction. So it's not a huge deal. It's like a little laser cut wooden token with a picture of one of the leaders of that affiliation.
Yes,
but it's really cool what it does to player motivation. Because now, instead of losing your game and just being, oh crap, I'm out, no point in playing anymore, might as well go home, it's, well, at least I can try and get best in affiliation.
Right.
And I think it diversifies the meta a lot. So, like, every faction was represented including in humans, although they only showed up the first day, so they best in affiliation. And like, right. like Phil got best in A-Force, even though like he, you know, this was his first tournament ever, but he was the only person who brought A-Force, so he got this cool reward.
Very nice. Yeah, I think that's a thing that 40K does quite a bit too, actually. Or it might not be like best in faction because there's way too many of those, but it'll be like best in Chaos, best in Imperium, best in Xenos.
Well, I think it's actually great to have like 20 of them because the prize, like I said, the prize doesn't have to be big. Mm-hmm. It's about the bragging rights. And so
right.
just handing out these little tokens to 20 people makes it feel great. And like they just had a ton of raffle prizes. So almost everyone at least got something.
Nice. Do you think that's something that like a big event like LVO should seriously consider, is those kinds of like best in affiliation deals?
So I think the coolest thing about MCP is that if you have a 3D printer, you can make extremely cheap prizes by 3D printing some of the alt sculpts for MCP models, and it costs the TO almost nothing, but the players love getting it because it means right. it saves them the work of having to do the 3D printing and they get something really cool and unique.
I'm assuming that would probably have to be done not in events that are affiliated with Atomic Mass Games. Probably.
Yeah, or you could just do terrain.
Yeah, oh, terrain would actually be freaking genius. Like, think about like printing like cars and stuff with like a car with like an advertisement for the event on it. Car STL files are dirt cheap, and you could just like have somebody sculpt in the name of the thing and then like first, second, third, etc. Yep. That would be really cool.
Yeah, I think 3D printing makes prizes way cooler. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to be a little creative. And I know Tyson of all people is a 3D printing expert.
Tyson is a very good 3D printer, can confirm.
Yeah.
Maybe we should bring this up to him. Okay, well, that's really nifty. What's it? We think we actually talked about your shield roster fairly recently. Checking.
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about it in our first episode, actually, which was about 2.5 months ago. So if you want to hear, has it changed since then?
I think I took out Venom and put in Fury Senior since then.
Yeah, because Fury Senior wasn't released.
Yes. So the main thing... So most games I played, I basically played Fury Junior, Fury Senior, Winter Soldier, Iron Man, and then like one or two other models to get to the points level.
Mm-hmm.
And so the relevant things... Oh, that was another thing I changed. I put in Luke Cage. Specifically for the Malekith matchup, because you can Heroes for Hire and then Too Dangerous to Ignore to kind of spread out attacks. And right. so you can keep, like, it actually came up in my first game, so I was actually able to keep Black Cat alive so that I could stagger him and then run away. And then nice. I was able to Helios him. And then the Fury Senior, Fury Junior, Bucky combo just does a ludicrous amount of damage. So I was actually able to KO
Malekith. Wow. That's not a normally super achievable thing.
Yeah, awesome. So I got him away from his bodyguards and Helios'd him to daze him. And then he left Fury Jr. alive with his grunts and with a bunch of power. So I made the 6 attacks and I think I left him on like 2 and I was able to finish him off.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah, so if you want to hear more about the roster in specific, go check out go check out the first episode of Doom Prophecy, where we talk about S.H.I.E.L.D. quite a lot. And then also, Brett posted an article this week, which would be like the 19th of October, I think, on our website, where it talks about the combinations of things in S.H.I.E.L.D. So go check those
specifically, out. Yeah, specifically Nick Fury Jr. and just how ridiculous he is.
Yep.
And can't believe he's still so underrated.
I mean, yeah, he's real good. And every single time you write anything about S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm like, I should go open the S.H.I.E.L.D. box up and just start painting things.
It's also very funny playing, like, you know, you're playing against, like, Malekith, like, this greater god, or you're playing against, like, X-Men, this team of mutants, and it's like, yeah, I've just got, like, 6 normal humans with machine guns.
Yeah. Turns out, bullets are actually really good at killing things. Who knew?
Also, hilarious thing, so this is a 6-round event. In 5 of the 6 rounds, I played Hammer. Sphere Grips World is whatever
it's called. Sphere Grips World is worthy terrorized cities.
Yes, thank you.
That feels statistically very unlikely.
Yeah, because And several of them were I won priority and pick secures, and then I got their hammers.
That's really funny. So Bucky had a field day, in other words?
Yeah, Bucky had had several good games. I did win more than I lost to hammers. I think Shield are pretty good in hammers.
Yeah.
That's why I brought it, for example.
All right. Well, let's go through your games, I guess. Starting round one, you played against Malekith. Was this Cabal or was this something else?
It was a Malekith Cabal.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him after the game, and he said that he had played as Shield a couple times, but he hadn't played the matchup against Shield a lot. So I got almost full value out of every single one of my cards. So, like, he Midnight Phantasmagoria'd to push Luke Cage away so that he would be able to kill Black Cat. And he didn't push him far enough away that I wasn't able to Heroes for Hire back in.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to get out of range three.
And, like, pretty much every rule and every card kind of went that way, where it's like... Mm-hmm. All right, Frosty, I'm like, okay, I'm going to Eye in the Sky. And he's like, the next attack's going to throw you. I'm like, oh, no, Eye in the Sky is really dumb.
Yeah, Eye in the Sky is absolutely absurd.
Yeah, so So Shield has a lot of really good cards, and when you get full value out of every single one of them, it's very hard to come back from.
Yeah, that's for darn sure. Okay. Any notable takeaways from that game, or was it just like Shield did the thing and the other player didn't quite respect that enough?
It was very much so that was a cool thing that Second Wind did, is their terrain setup was kind of bonkers. So table in particular had a Fisk building horizontal across the center of the board.
Dope. I dig it.
I think it was exactly centered on the board because it was an E secure, it was demons, and you were able to control it while being out of line of sight from the other side of the building on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's a lot of, like, walk up on top of the building, push them off the building, all right, now it can't attack anymore.
Right. Interesting.
Stuff like that.
Okay. Fair enough. What did you play into in round two?
Round two, I played into a Web Warriors player.
Mm-hmm.
This was an incredibly close game where I played Shield again. We basically tied for points four rounds in a row, and then he was able to steal one objective away from me, he finally got 1 point ahead of me on round four for some reason. And unfortunately, he remembered that if you don't kill anybody on the Shield team, then they don't get to score the point. So he very carefully didn't daze any of my characters on that last turn, and including the grunts.
Right.
And I'm like, oh yeah, you can just not make attacks. Yeah, okay. So he had clearly played against Shield a lot and knew that very well. So he played great, and we ended up 17-18.
Oh man, that's so close.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, if you can get into a position where it's like, well, I guess I'm just not going to let you have that point back, that seems pretty strong.
Yeah, and because unlike Wakanda, Web Warriors can do a lot of their stuff without attacking.
Right, they've got a lot of, like, I'm going to web pull you, I'm going to throw you with myself and other things.
Yep. Or I'm going to just steal the objective and walk away. Yep.
Yeah, Miles.
So then the next round I played against Web Warriors again. This Web Warriors list had Red Skull 2 in it, which is fucking cool.
Oh, that is sick.
I'm like, oh, I hadn't considered that. So basically, Red Skull 2, he solves your flip secure problem. Because he and the grunts can flip like two or three per turn.
Right.
He solves your, I need to put something on an infinity formula. You just leave a grunt there forever. Yeah, it was that's a really cool addition. And then Red Skull 2 just does a fuck ton of damage. And has a push trigger, so he's a Web Warrior.
Right. Well, so, and he also really enjoys being able to, like, reroll skulls if he's holding a thing, right?
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if he has any rerolls on his card. But yeah, since he counts basically everything anyway.
Well, yeah, if he has a way to reroll, like, that's a really strong interaction, because everything else on his attack is, like, basically a hit.
Yep.
Nice.
I think the way this one went is he had the Hydra Grunts and Miles on one side of the board, and Fury and Bucky were able to take those two down by themselves. Mm. And so I had the two hammers on that side and the 2 points on that side. And because Hydra was way on the other, or Skull was way on the other side of the table, the mm-hmm. grunts couldn't go back and help grab them. So then it was right. just Miles versus like two of the biggest damage dealers I have. So they eventually got through his rerolls.
It's hard to do, but it will eventually happen.
Right. Marvel dice.
Yep. Nice.
The next round. Okay. And so this is why. So the next round I played against an X-Men player and he had Sabretooth in his list. Now, I have never played against Sabretooth. I thought he was terrible. I just, like, never read his card. No idea what he does.
Oh, no. All right.
But fortunately, uh-huh. two other Austin people played against the same guy and lost to him before. So they're like, yeah, like, when, like, he, yeah, he just has a counterattack. I'm like, oh, okay. And he has hyper aggressive, or his aggressive, it's called in this game. So mm-hmm. it's like the Venom shield play I used to do. I'm like, oh, okay, so just ignore him all game. Got it.
mm-hmm.
And so this game was, so if you've played against, so I won priority, chose my secures, and then he flipped my flip secure anyway. I'm like, come on. So that was unfortunate.
Yep.
Because X-Men are just really, 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 really good on flip secures.
Right, because they have Children of the Atom and get to just do it for free on turn one, right?
First class, but yes.
First class, that one, yeah. The other yeah. one.
Yeah. And so this was, I think it was basically Iron Man was fighting Voodoo and Sabretooth.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like they were pushing each other around, getting possessed and all that. I think Kat was on that side and she got like face me and murdered
that
really quick.
Seems like the correct play, yes.
Yeah.
Get Kat off the table, get her off as fast as possible.
Yep. And then everyone else was fighting on the other side of the table. Alright. I don't know how to say this in a nice way, but Marvel Dice. so like the number of times he rolled four defenses on four dice, like so like I was doing the rapid fire, like make as many attacks as possible thing. It was just like could not crunch through these defenses. Mm-hmm. And then it eventually came down to possessed Iron Man had I was able to do a Helios laser for like six, I think it was for 14.
That's a lot of dice.
Yeah. And I needed to, unfortunately I needed to one shot Voodoo with it.
Ooh, always a tough ask.
Yeah, I don't know the odds of it, but again, he got four defenses. This time I was ignoring cover. Mm-hmm. And I only got like 9 successes or something. And so he lived, which meant that he was able to hold on to enough hammer. I think we were tied up until that point, and he was able to have enough hammers to get ahead.
Right.
I think we tied like 16 to 16 the round before because we ended 18 to 22.
Yikes.
So yeah, so we've proven that Sabretooth is unbeatable by Austin.
Mm-hmm.
So
did every single one of you guys lose to that guy?
Just 3 out of
just
five.
Just 3 out of 5. Okay.
I didn't attack him the whole game, and then he did basically nothing except walk over and nail a 2 success flip with his 3 defense dice. Like, okay.
Like a boss.
Yeah. And then he one-shotted Fury Senior after the game was over, basically.
Like you do. Mm-hmm. So that was the first day, and then you got a break, and you came back the next day for round 5.
Yep. And that game I played against Hydra.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I don't remember much of that game. I think Voodoo just wrecked his day. Like like the scenario, like the final score was 20-5. So
oh boy, Brett, you're supposed to be nice to people.
That's what happened. So I had priority. It was hammers, of course. Mm-hmm. Fury and his grunts went and picked up the two central hammers, mm-hmm. and Cat and Hydra went to go deal with Fury. Mm-hmm. He activated Cat first.
By Hydra, you mean Skull?
Skull.
Okay.
I say that every time. Yes, Skull 2. So Cat stole his hammer and mm-hmm. ran away. So Fury's like, okay. And he just walked away from Hydra, or from Skull 2. Mm-hmm. And it took him like 2 turns to get back. And then...
Awkward.
Yeah. And so then eventually Cat wandered back over to my side of the table, mm-hmm. and I'm like, okay, I'll put in, I've got Bucky right here, I got Fury Senior, I've got Winter Soldier, or I've got Iron Man, so I'll just activate Iron Man first, do a Friday AI, get some points into her, one shot her, took her hammer, like, okay.
like you do.
Yeah, and then, like, my Cat walked over, stole Red Skull's hammer, walked away,
like you do.
Yeah, this is another player who didn't respect the grunts, and these grunts had a hammer, so like mm-hmm. his voodoo walked up with hammer, and the grunts and Fury just frickin' murdered him.
And, yes, and that sounds about right.
And they were like hiding behind a building, so nothing else could get to them. Like it was brutal,
delicious.
And yeah, my dice had shown up.
Mm-hmm.
And then last round, I'm like, okay, in order to get best in faction for Web Warriors, I saw that all the Web Warriors going into this round were at the same score as me. They're all X and 2 like me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna go for it. So in order to qualify for best in faction, you have to actually play a game with that faction,
right?
So I lost priority. He got secure. He picked secures, and he flipped Terrigen. And
okay.
Like, okay, I got hammers, like I always do, but Terrigen's really good for Web Warriors. So I said, fuck it. 20 threat Web Warriors.
That's a lot of Web Warriors.
Yeah. So this is another split scenario, and it came down... Basically, it was Miles and Voodoo versus Shadowlands Daredevil on the right side, and then the entire rest of the 20-point list was on the other side of the table.
Okay.
So Shadowlands Daredevil is virtually unkillable.
Right.
But he can still be possessed. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to get the hammer on the right side, and I possessed him, and I was able to score that Terrigen. I was basically getting 3 free points per turn.
Right.
And I used Recalibration Matrix to keep Voodoo alive on 1 health versus the grunts, so that when Daredevil killed Voodoo and Voodoo dropped the hammer, he wasn't able to pick it up because he was possessed, whereas the grunts would have been able to pick it up if they had killed it
from
their first or their actions.
Right.
So
gross.
So then, yeah, so like I was actually able to get through and do a bunch of damage to Daredevil 2 because Marvel Dice. Mm-hmm. And so it was basically just the grunts picked up a hammer, they dropped it, and Gwen picked it up and ran away with it. Bucky picked up a hammer, and then Bucky and Gwen were just like playing it safe, and Fury and Black Cat were dying just slowly enough that they could. I think I scored the Terrigen once, and then nobody scored it for the rest of the game on that side.
Mm-hmm.
And so this one ended up 17-5.
Brutal.
Because Web Warriors. And so, yeah, so I ended up 4-2, ended up the same score as 2 of the other Web Warriors, but their strength schedule was both better than mine, so I didn't get any best in factions.
Womp,
I guess, yeah, the other shield player went 5-1, because he's a very good player, and it's very rude of him.
how dare he perform to his level?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
I do want to briefly talk about the top 8.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 4 Malekith players in the top 8, 3 Avengers and 1 Cabal. There were 2 X-Men,
mm-hmm.
and then a Shield and a Web Warriors. His shield list didn't have a Web Warrior Splash in it, like mine did.
Right.
So, not a ton of diversity in the top eight.
Right.
But I will point out two awesome people in the top eight, because go my locals.
Go locals. Fair enough. Yeah, I don't know. It's really interesting. I think there's a lot of content creators who I think are very dissatisfied with the current like meta, because it's very like you have a few choices and not you have a ton of choices. I'm not sure how that actually affects most of the people who play the game, because I don't think most of the people that play the game actually care about the competitive scene all that much. So,
I also think that the people who are saying that would say, oh, there's only four Malekiths in the top four. That's weird.
Yeah, that's possible.
Because the two X-Men players brought this really cool tech of Ebony Maw. Mm-hmm. So if you take Ebony Maw with Storm, it solves his mobility issue. And then you can use Shh to cancel the Ferocity charge, which really shuts down Malekith. And then if you can do damage with his attack, you can move him around. It's just a really good... And then X-Men are really good in scenario. I think Shield is really good in Malekith. I think I beat... Yeah, I beat two of them, I think.
Well, and isn't Scarlet Witch also X-Men affiliated, or am I crazy?
I think she's... I assume she's Uncanny X-Men. Checking.
Okay. Because if you really wanted to, you could play Scarlet Witch and Ebony Maw and just be like...
I don't think you could.
I mean, you could. It's just not necessarily a good idea.
She is not an Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah. A-Force, Avengers, Defenders, Brotherhood of Mutants.
Okay. Yeah, that's probably just my like very limited comic run of X-Men speaking. The only ones that I've really read, she was definitely an X-Men for.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was that. There's a ton of convocation at this at this event.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's exciting. Convocation's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Speaking of other good places for Ebony Maw. And there were a couple of Sentinels players.
Good.
Even though they came out the Friday the event started.
I was gonna say, like, they came out the day before, right?
Yeah.
That's not a lot of time to get those built, never mind painted.
Nope. And there was someone who just brought all his favorite characters, like didn't bring any, like couldn't play an affiliated leader. It just was unaffiliated. And he went 2-3. He dropped the last round, but not affiliated list. That's a really good turnout.
Yeah, seriously. Playing without some of the best hectic cards in the game, because they're usually affiliated. Playing without a leadership. Like, just tons of efficiencies.
Yeah, he just played flat unaffiliated. Yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty gutsy. I like it. All right. Well, the patron pick for this month from Phil is... he wants us to talk about Sabretooth. And basically because you and a bunch of your locals played against and had trouble with Sabretooth. Wasn't Sabretooth in the winning team?
No. He was in the other X-Men in the top four.
Oh, okay. So still very, very high placing. Yes. Like did extremely well. 5-1, good tiebreakers, all that nonsense. And then he wants us to compare him to some of the other characters that share similar characteristics. Now, I know you hadn't played against Sabretooth before this, but I do want to share, like, when I started playing the game, it was just me and my brother, and we were like, it was Christmas 2020, and we were like, well, we're going to play some Marvel Crisis Protocol, because, yeah. And he immediately picked up Avengers, and then he threw Sabretooth in there because he really likes Sabretooth, apparently. And Sabretooth made my life living hell for, like, the first 10 or 15 games that I played against him. So when I came into the wider internet space and heard that people didn't like him, I was very confused. Because every single rule on his card seems pretty decent. Like, the aggressive move, constantly a problem. The strike back, also very good. Having access to exceptional healing was, like, a flipping nightmare as a brand new player. And I haven't really thought about him in like a solid year now, but I'm glad to see that there is a place for him, because he does seem really reasonable into this like meta of strong attackers that he has exceptional rapid hearing fire. For rapid fire, which he has healing factor to sort of negate, and then
So the important thing, the thing I think is really cool about exceptional healing is that it's essentially another copy of recalibration matrix, where it's like,
mm-hmm.
if your opponent's dice just go off the charts, you can spend 3 power and say, whoa, bring it back down to 1.
Right. Yeah, and that makes him ridiculous. Between that and the healing factor and the fact that he's got okay-ish defenses, they're not incredible, but they're not terrible.
They're extremely below average for a 4 threat.
Sure.
He just he's just 3s across the board.
3s across the board.
Size, yeah. And no defensive rules.
But I do think that he's a really interesting like piece that can say, I'm going to take 2 really gigantic hits and they're not going to bug me at all. And I'm still going to be here because if you push me away, I'll just be back. Thank you very much.
With attacks, yes.
With attacks, which is a really strong combination of rules.
Yeah, so having played Shield for a long time, having the Shield leadership of if you take damage from attack, move back short, mm-hmm. is just really good. It's also especially good with the counterattack rule. So I played Venom and Shield for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, so the problem with these counterattackers is that you can just, you know, if they have a range 2 attack, you stand at range 3 and shoot them that way. If they have mm-hmm. a range 3 attack, you stand at range 4, just shoot them and they can't do anything. Well, by having that short move, so Venom with a short aggressive move means that there are no attacks in the game other than like hit and run, where you can avoid the counterattack because a short move plus range 3 is longer than range 5.
Plus his 50 mil base, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Because I think it wouldn't quite work if he was on a 35.
Yeah, and that's kind of the problem with Sabretooth on his own, is mm-hmm. that range 2 plus a short move plus a small base is shorter than range 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be fine. Well, so if you play him in Shield, then he gets 2 short moves, so that works. That's mm-hmm. okay. But more relevantly, that means you can't attack him twice, because then mm-hmm. the second time he'd be able to counterattack, or like rapid fire, he would get into range.
Right.
And so I think he's a really great tech choice into the rapid fire meta.
Mm-hmm. And then the cards that we just discussed make him a pretty reasonable choice into the Malekith meta, because he's just like, that's 1 damage, thanks.
Yeah. And his Claw Slash is just really good, right? It's Fury's attack. It's range 2, 5 strength, pierce, and bleed.
Yeah, which is nothing to sneeze at. It's good.
Yeah. And he's just a long mover.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't really have a ton to do with his power. So if he does get ignored, he can run around and do flip secures.
Yep.
He basically takes the Black Panther slot of the X-Men list, where, you know, it's the small base long mover who can go steal, you know, their mutant madman flip.
Right.
I think in X-Men, I would prefer Black Panther for that 4th physical defense, for the defenses. But, I mean, he's got the chips. He beat me with them, so who am I to talk?
Right.
And after he walked through our meta, I'm definitely like, wait, at 17 or 18 points, Shield can run both Sabretooth and Venom.
Oh, and no. So, Brett, why are you doing this?
Well, so what I found, the reason I took Venom out of my Shield list mm-hmm. is that I found what would happen is people would just go, meh, and just let Venom make his 2 attacks
mm-hmm.
and just ignore him for the whole game.
Right.
But if you can't ignore 2 characters for the entire game.
Yeah, or at least not easily.
Yeah, especially when the rest of the list is, you know, Fury Jr., Fury Sr., Bucky.
Right.
It's like, I don't like any of these options.
Right. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
So I'm all aboard the Sabretooth train. That's the list I'm trying right now. Like, let's fucking do it.
Nice. So
to compare him to the other kind of long movers in this class, so I think the most directly comparable is Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to look good in comparison to Daredevil.
Sure.
So they're both long movers. They're both four threat. They both have a range two counterattack. So Daredevil has the count blanks for physical energy, mm-hmm. Whereas Sabretooth has the hyper aggressive, and the aggressive is just much, 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 much better.
Right.
Especially because healing factor, six health, and excessive healing is probably better than counting blanks.
Probably, especially because there's a reasonable amount of like mystic nonsense in the meta if people want to bring it. Like voodoo on his own existing is like, well,
Yes. I think, like I said, I think Black Panther is a really reasonable comparison point.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue he's probably better for the X-Men plan, with the exception that Sabretooth is a psychological threat, where it's like, I don't want to attack this guy because I don't want to give him the chance to attack me back.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Black Panther is relying on his good defenses.
Right, and Marvel Dice.
Yes, as we know with Marvel Dice, that doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
So if the dice were more reasonable, I could see Black Panther being better. As it is, like, Sabretooth, the psychological threat of, I don't want to give him a free attack, may be better.
Because Marvel Dice.
That's really the choice you're making. Yes. That's really the choice you're making. Yeah, the best Marvel Dice are the ones you don't have to roll.
Right.
As far as other long movers go, so a lot of the I want to make a distinction between him and the medium-based long movers like Angela and Amazing Spider-Man, because they bring something very unique to the table, which is they can go from the deployment zone, pick up the essential F or E extract and in one action, and then run back home.
Right.
And so he is not competing on that axis, and that ability is really
good. Is he with the X-Men place ability? Like, he is in that situation, is he not?
I think everyone is in that situation.
Okay. Fair enough. I will just say, like, because he is a long mover, he can move back farther than other characters maybe could.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is not nothing.
Yeah. And it doesn't require, like, using Eyes on the Prize or something.
Mm-hmm. So, just a thought there.
Yep. That's true. And then a lot of the other long movers are cheaper, and so you don't expect as much from them. So, like, Widow or Nebula are long movers, and they have similar, well, Nebula has similar output to him, but can't do scenario. Widow does a lot less damage, but is great for scenario. But being a two threat is just a really big advantage. Gwen brings a lot to the table other than that, and she just moves a ton.
Right, yeah, and she's like keeping your team alive constantly too.
Yep, and she has, you know, a sizeless push on her web line. Yeah.
Very important. And yep.
I actually think she's a really good point of comparison because she's also three defense across the board with no defensive rules.
Except for being in a spider in a Web Warriors usually, so she'll get the one reroll.
Correct. Yeah. And I think that's not as good as just having access to exceptional healing.
Yeah, probably not. And healing factor, like the two of those things put together.
Yeah. All right. And then continuing the theme of what the hell does this card do? There's apparently a card called Weapon X Program, which allows Sabretooth to basically get a pounce where he spends three power to throw himself short and not suffer collision damage.
Right.
I don't know that I'll ever take that as a card slot, but like pounce is a really good rule.
It is a really good rule.
A lot of extra damage because he's a size 3.
Right, because he has to compete with, like, him and Wolverine get to be mirrors in pretty much every way. And Wolverine's size 2, but gets to count as size 3.
Yeah.
And Sabretooth just gets to be size 3.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So if you want to really wreck Wakanda, like, Sabretooth's your man. Because they have a huge amount of trouble pushing size 3s. And then when they do finally push him, he just walks right back.
Yep. Get bent pushes, I'm back.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. He's a super interesting character. Do you think there's any other places that he would show up other than, like, X-Men and S.H.I.E.L.D.?
So I think he has a ton of synergy with S.H.I.E.L.D. because of the leadership and because they want to be making a ton of attacks out of activation.
Mm-hmm.
As far as other affiliations go, so, I, like, he doesn't want a ton of power. He doesn't interact with the terrain, so he's not really a good Brotherhood character.
Which is funny.
X-Force, yeah, X-Force is just kind of a mess, but honestly, it's probably... I mean, it's probably fine, right? Because all those counterattacks get the benefit of the leadership from X-Force.
Well, I was actually going to ask, what about something like Shadowlands Daredevil? Does he get the... to the leadership ability where you get to reroll a dice trigger on those counterattacks?
Yes, it does. If they're on objectives. But I feel like that's a little bit too much in your opponent's control for Shadowlands.
Right.
Daredevil.
Yeah, that's fair. I could totally see that being true.
I would consider so when I see two cost superpowers that I want to use on my opponent's turn, I think of Steve Avengers.
So right.
One cost. And then you can bodyguard if it's an attack that's too far away or, or push them or something.
Yeah. And I mean, I've played against that quite a bit, as I mentioned, because that's kind of the thing that I played against a lot. And it is really freaking annoying to have that be one cost. Like,
especially
that is a huge amount of efficiency.
Yeah. If he doesn't have to camp on the two, if he's just like, I'm going to be able to do this, he can actually start making spender attacks, and his spender is pretty decent.
Yeah.
It's seven dice, whatever, but it's wild hit to make a claw slash that can reroll any number of dice. So
it's very good.
That's an incredible attack.
Yeah.
It's
absolutely massive.
It's tough.
Yeah. And Shield can really let him do that. And the other interesting thing is he's consider him and Hulk on the same team. Just think about that for a second, where you've got these two fairly mobile, kind of annoying to interact with characters that sort of punish you for engaging. Hulk by getting hulkier and Sabretooth by hitting you back. And as we know with Marvel Dice, his hit you back could just be you're dead now.
Yep. Yeah.
So I could definitely see Avengers.
Definitely his biggest weakness is that he can't move other characters or even himself at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you very much have to be a team that's willing to do an attrition plan and able to hold their own against scenario teams, which is, again, why I think he's a great fit for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Alrighty. Well, if you've been having, if you've run Sabretooth or run into Sabretooth, we'd love to hear about your experiences and thoughts there, because I think this is a pretty sweet innovation that is coming out of, hold on a second, I need to look up this dude's name so we can give him credit.
Simon,
yeah. And so, I think this is going to be a really interesting look, and it's certainly the most interesting piece of tech that I think I've seen in a couple of months as the meta sort of stabilized a bit.
That's something one of my locals said that made a big impact on me, is that rather than getting frustrated with Malekith and having a gentleman's agreement not to see him, not to play him, people are instead trying to figure out new things, like this Ebony Maw thing, and they're trying stuff against the stated wisdom, especially of us grumpy content creators who are the meta sucks, everyone's terrible. it's cool to see people trying new things and seeing these X-Men lists doing these interesting characters and doing well with them.
Yeah, it's really fun.
So basically, what I'm saying is, stop listening to this podcast and start playing. start playing the game more.
All right. I mean, sure.
Well, so jokes aside, the best way to get frustrated with a game and never want to play it again is to not play it, right? I find that when I don't have a chance to play the game, when I get most grumpy about it. Whereas when I actually put it on the table and actually play it and, try and figure things out and, honestly engage with it, that's when it starts being fun again.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. Well, with that in mind, we would like to thank everybody who supports us on Patreon, because you guys are the best and you keep these things coming on a weekly basis, except for last week because I was out of town and Chandler was out of town. And yeah. So if you would like to check that out, it's patreon.com/lineofsightwargaming. There's a bunch of different tiers. The lowest of them is get access to episodes, and the highest of which is tell us what to do. And there's a whole range of things in between, but they all get fancy names in our Discord, which you can find in the link in the show notes of this podcast. You can chat with me and Brett there, or you can send us a message on our Facebook page, which is Line of Sight. You can also send us a Facebook message or an email. It's just our first names at lineofsightwargaming.com, and that will get right to us. You can also send us an email at admin@lineofsightwargaming.com if you've got something a little bit more generic you want to ask about and slash or you want all three of the Line of Sight hosts' opinion on it. I think that's everything. So, until next time, thanks for listening to this episode of Doomed Prophecy. And we'll see you later. Bye.